This is the High Stakes Lowdown, a RotoViz podcast brought to you by the Fantasy Football Players Championship. I'm Eric Balfman from the High Stakes Fantasy Football Hour and the FFPC. You can follow me on Twitter at Eric Balfman and the FFPC on Twitter at FFPC. This week, I'm discussing High Stakes Fantasy Football with John Modav and Tom Zaretic, the champions of the 2020 FFPC Big Payback 12-team league in which they cashed a $25,000 prize. Their total winnings in the FFPC number well over $70,000. In this episode, we try to figure out how they had such a dominant team after selecting Christian McCaffrey at the 101, what to expect from Devin Singletary and Zach Moss in the Bills' backfield in 2021, and much more. Before we get into the show, I want to remind everyone that you can get a listeners-only 30% discount to a RotoViz NFL pass through the NFL podcast homepage, rotoviz.com/podcast. Your subscription gives you unlimited access to all of the RotoViz content and tools, and it supports the podcast channel. Hey everyone, before we get into today's pod, I want to tell you about Blue Wire Hustle, a brand new program where you can host your very own podcast here at Blue Wire. Hustle was created to give everyone the opportunity to take your podcast to the next level. Or if you want to host a podcast and just don't know where to start, Hustle is the perfect place for you. As part of the program, you'll receive personal cover art, Q&As with Blue Wire's top podcasters, access to our community Discord, and an e-learning course full of tips and tricks. And on top of that, we'll help you get your show pushed out to Apple, Spotify, Google, Stitcher, and all other listening platforms. And the best part is, you can get all of this for only $15 a month, the same rate as any other hosting site would charge you just for the initial setup. So whether you're starting from scratch or have an existing show that you want to grow, Hustle is an open door to leveling up your sports experience. Acceptance into the program is limited, so get your application in today. To apply, go to bwhustle.com/join. Check out the description box for this episode to find out more. But that's bwhustle.com/join. Now, without further ado, here are the 2020 FFPC $25,000 Big Payback winners, John Modav and Tom Zaretic. Pleased to be joined. It's the season finale of the RotoViz High Stakes Lowdown this week, and who better to bring it than a couple of fellow Midwesterners like myself. It's John Modav, it's Tom Zaretic, who won the FFPC Big Payback League this year, have $25,000 to show for it. Gentlemen, thanks so much for making a little time in a busy NFL playoff slate coming up, the divisional playoffs this weekend. Thanks so much for making some time on the show this week.
Thank you.
Thank you. Excited to be on it. That means we did get on it again.
Yes, exactly. Well, you guys were so good the first time on the High Stakes Fantasy Football Hour. I quite frankly could not ignore you for the season finale of the RotoViz High Stakes Lowdown for sure. Okay, so the first thing I want to talk to you about is the Big Payback Championship. Now, you guys have had a lot of success with the off-the-grid contest, runners-up twice. You won the whole thing once. The Big Payback this year, you guys take the whole thing down, and this is huge, because you beat a lot of former guests, not only of this show, but of the High Stakes Fantasy Footballer as well. Todd Barkstadt, Bill Lazell, Ron Gachet, Jack Hahn, Greg Cantor, Drew and Josh Maselli, Doug Moe, Jeff Tirabassi. You guys beat all of them this year en route to a $25,000 payday. So, John, I got to ask you, compared to some of the best balls that you've done in the past, including this year, I know you had some success in that as well, compared to the main events, some of the other leagues, how much did you and Tom switch up your strategy in this draft, knowing you were competing against the best of the best?
Well, we've always had a strategy where we definitely target – we're usually running back heavy. I mean, every year we target – you know, because we always target running backs. But we did switch it up a bit because we were very high on Lamar Jackson. So we took him even a little higher than we wanted to. So when we got McCaffrey first, which, of course, didn't work out for us that great, but – when we came back down and we took, you know, it was a little off our strategy when we took DeAndre Hopkins and Lamar Jackson. So we were looking at, well, if we got the best running back, we could have the best quarterback, and we also could have the best wide receiver. So that was something we were looking at, like, okay, we got three studs to build around and then try to get our depth at running back, you know, in the fourth and fifth round and sixth rounds like that. So we were more, like I said, we switched it up a little bit, just kind of targeting, saying, hey, can we get the best quarterback in our mind because of the rushing yards? Can we get, you know, arguably it could be the best receiver in the league also. So we were, that was a little bit different than we usually do, because a lot of times we go three running backs in a row our first three picks. So we're kind of usually, you know, so running back heavy, and then we fill in at the receiver position.
Tom, let me throw this one to you, and John already alluded to it. Most people who had the 101 in drafts last year took Christian McCaffrey. They never even sniffed the playoffs because of how much time he missed. You guys in this league competing against, again, the best the FFPC has to offer, you not only made the playoffs, but you won the whole thing in week 16. So I'm kind of curious, Tom, how were you guys able to pull this off despite, you know, really busting out at the 101?
That's a great question, and I think I agree with you. It's an honor to be mentioned among the greats like that. You know, it humbles me. I love it. It's great, and you know, I think we just were very active and on the waiver wire, and you know, we were just trying to fill holes if necessary. I think we had some mid-round draft picks or running backs that really ended up panning out for us at the end of the season. And, you know, we did lose out on Mike Davis, and then we had to kind of shift gears and navigate a different direction. And I think we just managed our team. You know, we didn't panic, you know, and try to make crazy decisions and, you know, juggle the lineup. We try to stay consistent with our philosophy. And I think, you know, we got lucky, you know, with some good, solid running backs panning out, you know, towards the end of the season.
J.D. McKissick. Yeah.
right. Like McKissick. Yeah. So, you know, he was truly an MVP, and what he was able to, generate and, you know, for us down the stretch, really came through for us. And we did, we targeted him. We knew that with Alex Smith being at the helm, we just felt that, you know, Alex Smith is a check down guy. And I think that McKissick was just going to, you know, fit that concept a lot better. And we were really excited when we were able to land him.
I'm just kind of curious when you talk about the draft and management, Tom, here, because I think, you know, especially on Twitter and whatever in the drafting season, so much emphasis is put on those early rounds. But you guys, I mean, the reason you won this league, the reason you guys have had a lot of success in the FFPC over the years has been not only the mid rounds, but the waiver wire as well. How close would you equate the middle rounds of these high stakes drafts as well as the waiver wire as, you know, to the early rounds of the draft with so many people put such an emphasis on, given that you guys whiffed on the 101 and still won 25 grand?
That's a good point you make. And I think, yeah, these days, these years, it just seems, I don't know, just as years pass, it seems like they're developing these waiver wire guys. Someone goes down, this next man up on a lot of these NFL teams. And it seems like these young ones are, you know, ready to step in there and produce. And I just don't remember seeing that as much maybe 5-10 years ago as I see it now, you know, like, you know, the kids from Jacksonville, or, you know, I could go on a list of these rookies and young running backs and backups that just step in and produce. And I think they're just as valuable. I think, you know, I think mid round RBs and waiver wires, I think, yeah, it's they're equally invaluable. I don't, nowadays, at least, it doesn't, seems like they've come more and more productive.
Well, and there has been a shift, and you guys obviously accentuated that with your 12th round pick, John, in this draft, the Minnesota Vikings receiver, the rookie out of LSU, Justin Jefferson. You get him with the final pick of the 12th round. So take me back through the process in this big payback. What did you and Tommy sort of see in him as far as 2020 goes? And then looking forward, when you guys are drafting in the late summer, the early fall, how high would you take him in drafts in 2021, John?
you know, me and Tommy kind of have a, we have a pretty set strategy. We're kind of on the same page with this. Like, we look for high ceiling guys, especially after the eighth, ninth round. I mean, you get to the 10th round in these drafts. It's like, what can this guy do for me in a ceiling wise? You know, we could take a guy like a Larry Fitzgerald that might get you four catches for 40 yards this late in his career, but we're looking at Justin Jefferson with Stephon Diggs being shipped to Buffalo in Thielen. We're like, this guy, you know, he can step right in and be a 1,000-yard guy. Could be an 800 catch guy, 1,000, 1,300-yard guy, just like T. Higgins. You know, we got T. Higgins as well. So we're looking at these young guys. Tommy kind of talked about it. You know, you're looking at these young guys that can produce, they can win you leagues. You know, when you're looking at a guy, I don't need a rusty veteran as a receiver. I can pick one of those guys up on the waiver wire any time of the year. You know, you can get a guy that might be able to grind. I mean, we're looking for guys that are, you know, he can win you leagues. Like, we're like, can he win us a league? Could T. Higgins win us a league? Can some of these young guys that start clicking, you know, T. Higgins with Burrow, you know, that hurt him when Burrow went down, but he's another guy that probably would have been cemented in our lineup if Burrow doesn't go down.
Yeah.
You know, you know, you look at those guys and it's, you know, it was something that, like, Tommy, you'll agree. Like, we look, you know, that's the one thing we do is, what's this guy's ceiling, not his floor. If his floor is, you know, if we pick him in the 12th round and he's not what we thought he could be, well, you're not risking that much. But what he's going to offer you in the high end is
a lot of
is, you know, can lead you to a championship.
Yeah.
John, let me piggyback on that real quick and ask you this. At what point in the draft do you and Tom sort of stop? Like, obviously, you have to look at a floor at some point, and whether that's your first round, second round, whatever. Yeah. At what point do you guys stop looking at floor and start focusing only at ceiling in a high stakes draft?
You know, like I said, I was kind of throwing it out there. There's no set round, but we're kind of, you know, like I said, pretty much about the eighth rounds. I mean, it's eighth, ninth. I mean,
it's all about ceiling then after that.
Oh, yeah. All about ceiling. We're trying to. And then we might take a stab at a grinder, you know, maybe a running back guy that could, you know, be like a, you know, a Vulture or a Frank Gore type or so. You know, we might take a stab at that. But, you know, like I said, it's what can they offer us? Once we got a set, you know, we got our guys that we're looking at, our core guys, we're looking like who can step in and win us. You know, that's you know, about, what do you think about eighth round, Tommy? That's kind of.
Yeah. No, I would say
eighth,
that.
Ninth,
yeah,
tenth, you know, that, you know, it's no set thing. We kind of do it by feel. We're not analytic guys. We're all like, you know,
it's all about feel and the eye test, right?
Yep. Yep. I mean, I watch a lot of college football and, you know, he was a monster. Jefferson was a monster at LSU. And then you got Higgins at Clemson. You know, I mean, you just look at these guys and you're like, they got the bodies. And, you know, I thought that, you know, like I said, like a guy like Higgins with Burrow would click, and a guy stepping into Stephon Diggs' shoes would get every opportunity in the world to excel. And he did, you know, set rookie records. So he was,
I agree with John. You know, we think that there's these rookie receivers, you know, there's so much high ceiling with them these days. They can just, because they can, teams can plug them in and they can produce. And we're like, hey, you know, who can maybe single-handedly win us a game one week in, one week out? You know, are we going to go with a, you know, again, a bad example. I don't want to use Larry Fitzgerald. I mean, he's a Hall of Famer and all, but, you know, I mean, you know, you want to go with Larry Fitzgerald in the 8th, 10th or 12th round. You want to try a gamble on the high ceiling who could come in there, plug him in, and maybe has a 30-point day. And that's exactly what happened this year is, you know, these T. Higgins and these, you know, the Justin Jeffersons of the world, they stepped in. And when we put them in there, they produced. And thankfully they did, because we needed a whole team effort when we had the number one overall pick go down immediately. It just, and not have them all season. We had to get our philosophy panned out for us.
Tom, I'm going to ask you about the NFL playoffs in a little bit, but as long as we touched on Dynasty here real quick, John, I want to ask you, since you guys watch a lot of college football, I know you play FFPC Dynasty. Mm-hmm. It's so early in the process. You know, there's rudimentary NFL drafts out there. From what you've seen out of the college football season, is there any player that you're super excited about for rookie drafts when we get to it in 2021 here in May?
Yeah, I mean, I'll just touch on a couple guys to not get too deep into this. But, you know, if you're looking for a quarterback, of course, you're going to look at Trevor Lawrence. But, you know, I'm very excited to see where Justin Fields goes just because of his legs. And, of course, Trevor Lawrence uses his legs too. But he's a guy that could produce, you know, 50 to 80 yards rushing in a game. And not even if he doesn't get much passing, you're still getting those yards. And then a guy that still isn't, even on like McShay and stuff, like, you know, look at Devonta Smith. I mean, you look at a guy that,
yeah,
that he is as skinny as he is. I mean, he's a monster. I mean, he's a monster, just like we'll see. Jamar Chase, I'm very excited about him too as a receiver, but he didn't play this year. So it's like a, you know, is that year off going to help him? Did he get stronger? Did he get better? But, you know, I look at, you know, somebody like, you know, those two guys are both, you know, Jamar Chase, Devonta Smith. I mean, you look at Jaylen Waddle on Alabama. You know, he's another guy that got hurt. But, I mean, these guys are explosive. They're in offenses that excel. I mean, I just, you know, I don't want to talk bad about somebody, but, like, you look at the Eagles, you look at, like, you know, you start talking about a guy like Jalen Reagor. You know, when they come out of certain, you know, offenses in college, I'm a little scared at what they're going to do in the pros when they're just more of a tape slash combine type guy than compared to some guy that produced on the highest level. So that's, you know, you look at some of these guys coming out of the programs, LSU, Georgia, Clemson, you know, they don't produce huge receivers, but a guy like Chase Claypool that came from Notre Dame, he came out of Notre Dame and caught a ton of balls for Pittsburgh and was a big impact. But yeah, I look for those high impact guys on big programs that have been in the limelight because they're usually not gun shy. You
know, John,
that's a really good point. Yep.
Mm-hmm. Let me ask you guys this, and John, I'll let you field this one. You mentioned Jamar Chase. Mm-hmm. Opted out of the season. Obviously, yep, a bananas 2019 with Joe Burrow. Yeah, oh, yeah. You think about the NFL Combine this coming year in whatever form it takes.
Yeah, we'll see what happens.
Yeah, and that's exactly my point. Do you think that dynasty players are in danger of overrating the Combine for these guys that opted out? As opposed to guys we saw all season. How do you guys play that
I think that comes into it a lot. I mean, like I said, there's always those guys that go to the combine and they're, you know, I just call them the shirtless, you know, the shirtless shorts on all-stars, you know,
the underwear Olympics.
Yep. There you go. They look the part, their numbers are incredible, but do you see it in person? And that's the thing that I scratch my head on and GMs, AKA maybe my guy, Ryan Pace, but you know, you look at some of these guys that, you know, just look the part and everything, but they've never produced at the highest level. It's, look at Adam Shaheen for the Bears. They're calling him Mini Gronk, second round pick out of a small school. You know, he caught a couple touchdowns for Miami, but, you know, he a bust, you know, in the second round that had all the talent in the world, supposedly, you know, combine guy. But yeah, Jamar Chase, but he put it up on tape last year. So, you know, I'm not thinking people are going to overvalue him over somebody else, but, you know, look at a guy like Devonta Smith coming into this year was looked at like somebody similar to a Henry Ruggs. You know, Ruggs is, you know, deep threat burn, you know, come out and, but he proved a little bit more too. But yeah, I don't know. I mean, I don't think people are going to overvalue, but, you know, there could be some of that in there on some of these guys that opted out.
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, go ahead, Tom.
Yeah. I think when talking about Chase, I would probably, me personally, I would look elsewhere. I think I just, you know, he's a year off, and then he played in the system with Burrow and Jefferson, and I just feel like if I'm gonna gamble on a dynasty high draft pick, you know, I'm gonna calculate my gamble and calculate the risks, and I may have to find better, you know, equal value elsewhere that played this year. I can watch more tape on, you know, watch the games, see how they come off their, you know, off the snap, you know, if they're getting out of the, you know, the tight, you know, man to man, you know, if they can get loose and are they good route runners? I think these days, these kids coming out of college, they got, you know, I think if they're getting touted as being great route runners, I think that is something that people need to put a lot of value into it. Because, mm-hmm. I think that seems to be the biggest problem with kids coming out of college is that, you know, they're not disciplined to the route runners, and then the quarterbacks are upset at the pro level, and, you know, and then they're losing snaps and targets because of it.
Something Justin Jefferson excelled at, actually.
Right, exactly. That's a good point. I promise you we're going to get back to the NFL playoffs here in a little bit. John, I want to pitch this back to you. And Tom, when John's done talking about it, I encourage you to chime in on this. We got the news. We're recording this here on Wednesday night. We got the news today that the Bears are bringing back not only Matt Nagy as the head coach, but Ryan Pace as the GM. John, your initial thoughts on this as far as how we treat the Bears skill position guys, Allen Robinson, a free agent, David Montgomery, obviously coming back as the lead running back. I don't know what they're going to do at quarterback. Happy, sad, indifferent, John, on the Ryan Pace and Nagy news.
Angry. It's
angry. So you wanted something new.
I wanted the head off at the top, not George, but I wanted Ted Phillips out, and I wanted a new director of football operations. There was talk that Ryan Pace might bump up and then hire his own GM, but I think they're just spinning their tires. And you know, if they're going to use a first rounder, which I don't know what'll be there at the 20 this year, but you know, I don't know.
You think it'll hold on, John? You think it'll be a skill position guy?
Let me stop right here.
Okay. They invested Cole Kmet last year.
Yep.
David Montgomery still under contract. Mm-hmm. Obviously was explosive down the stretch.
Yeah.
Allen Robinson, a free agent. I was big on Anthony Miller last year. It didn't pan out, but Mooney looks like the real deal.
Yep.
What do you think as far as a fantasy perspective? Not only maybe just day one, but day two as well.
You know, my thing is I don't know what they're going to do with the quarterback position. I don't know if they're going to go after Sam Darnold. I don't know if they're going to use Foles because he's under contract. I mean,
What about Stafford coming to Chicago?
I would take him. I don't know what the cost would be on him. He's older, you know, not old, but what is Stafford? 32, 33, I think.
Something like that, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I would love to see it. I don't know what they'd have to give up for him. I mean,
he's a gunslinger that can put the ball on the spot. You know, I mean, you know, yeah.
It's our play callers, too.
Right, yeah. Tom, what do you think they're going to do early on in the draft? I mean, is there a skill position guy here? Because I know, like, you know, the receiver maybe isn't as top heavy this year, but it's deep again. The running back position maybe not as great, but there are some difference makers. What do you want to see the Bears? Well, more importantly, what do you think the Bears are going to do?
Oh, God. They're going to screw it up. That's what they're going to do. They're going to go there, and they're going to screw it all up.
But they'll probably hit on a third rounder. You know, that's what we do.
Yeah. They're going to trade down in the draft, you know, and pick up a couple of Division II all-stars and they're going to develop them over 6 years, I guess, right? That never pan out. I don't know. I'm done with the Bears. I'm exhausted with them. I don't want to see the same, you know, it's the same old, you know, and it's exhausting. And I don't know. They should go for a wide receiver. They need to get them what's the best available at that spot. And
or a lineman, too. That's
or a lineman. Honestly, I would love for them to go get a
big tackle.
A lineman.
That's what
But you know, if Allen Robinson's gone and they don't sign a free agent in the offseason, then they gotta get the best receiver on the board.
We're going to get into Allen Robinson shortly here with John. But, Tom, let me ask you this. We were treated to an awesome, awesome weekend of wildcard football. A triple header on Saturday, a triple header on Sunday. I loved it. It was fantastic. From a fantasy standpoint strictly, Tom, what was the most surprising thing you saw this past weekend in the NFL?
Right off the top of my head, I just some of these, you know, bigger, running backs, just the bigger name running backs are out of the picture. You know, I just, the Titans could have advanced knowing that they had the, you know, a stronger running game with, you know, with Derrick Henry. But, you know, it just was surprising. Usually playoffs, it's the running game and defense and that's the philosophy, the formula for success. And I didn't, you know, it was kind of a little different. It was a little different. And, you know, I was surprised to see, you know, that some of these bigger name running backs didn't put up numbers like, you know, in advance. And it cost them, I guess. So I think that was the biggest surprise.
Tom, let me ask you this real quick. Next year, 2021 drafts, how high are you and John? And I don't know if you've had conversations about this. How high would you and John consider Jonathan Taylor in drafts next year? Is he a late first-round pick? Is he higher? Is he lower? How do you guys handle him, knowing that we won't see him now again until August?
Oh, well, he raised a lot of eyebrows down the stretch here. That's what he did. He definitely raised the eyebrow for a lot of people. I think with the Colts, you got one of the strongest offensive line, and you have to, when you're looking at running backs, you have to look at them as you have to look at the offensive line. You have to see what they got, because an average running back could be a Pro Bowler if they got a top-notch, top-five offensive line. So I think the sky's the limit in that over there with the Colts and that offensive line. And John Taylor, the way he was able to just kind of like – seemed like he just found his niche and he got really comfortable. And he was
right.
He just kind of got comfortable with the system. He knew the playbook. And that may be that probably is a challenge in that system.
Frank Reich system.
Yes,
they got some wide receiver threats, so I think there might be some open lanes. I think they can stretch the field, and with a gunslinger at the helm, it's going to open up some space, and those guys can block. That's a strong offensive line. That's a good unit. I would definitely look at. People should look elsewhere on Jonathan Taylor. Elsewhere, let's don't think it's Jonathan Taylor. He's bad. He's bad news. He's gonna get wrong.
It's so funny because, like, I know with the FFPC, we're going to be launching, like, $35, $250 best balls here in the next couple of weeks before we get to the championship weekend. And it'll be very interesting to see where a guy like Jonathan Taylor goes in drafts for sure. I want to bring it back to the Bears now because not only because you guys are experts on this, but because I think I have like seven or eight dynasty teams. I think the one player I own on them most is Allen Robinson. I am a huge, huge Allen Robinson fan. He's a free agent, John. Mm-hmm. What are the chances, number one, he comes back to the Bears? And if he doesn't come back to Chicago, how high do you move his ceiling with a non-Mitchell Trubisky / Nick Foles quarterback?
On a different squad, you're saying, or with the
yes, exactly, yeah. Like if he signs with somebody else,
With Allen Robinson, he was Mitch's security blanket. So I think his ceiling is he's a definite 100 catch guy, 12 to 1400 yards. I mean, you put him on a team. Let's just toss around. Let's just say he goes. I mean, I haven't heard any rumors. I mean, he's talking, trying to play the game. He's talking about coming back, but.
So let me ask you that right now. You're in Chicago. What are you hearing? You think Allen Robinson is going to be a Bear next year?
I think he's going to need some kind of assurances who's going to be a quarterback. I mean, if they say, hey, we're going to draft a young kid, I mean, do we go Kyle Trask at the 20 and then try to, have Nick Foles be a bridge quarterback?
Gone. John, I think he's gone. Yeah. He's gone. He's leaving.
If he gets money elsewhere, he needs money. I mean, at this point in his career, it's going to be a money thing, and the Bears probably won't pay him. I mean, here's the deal. I want him to stay, and that hurts me.
I agree, John. I mean, we all love him here in Chicago. We definitely want to see him stay here and stay a Bear.
But money-wise, who knows? Maybe he goes back to Jacksonville. Look at their cap. They get traded. Who knows? I mean, maybe he goes back to Florida with no state income tax.
So let's assume he's gone. Well, I mean, for the purpose of this question, John, let's assume he's gone.
Yep.
Who's the Bears receiver to own for Dynasty? Is it Mooney? Mooney? Mooney?
Mooney, as the year went on, he showed that he flashed. And you look at that game against the Packers, you watched that probably the whole game too.
Absolutely.
I mean, what he can do after he catches the ball, and as long as they can get it in his hands, I mean, he's dangerous. He's a guy that, they got to bring somebody else in, like Tommy said. Like, if Robinson is gone and we're sitting there at 20, I mean, there's a couple kids. A kid out of Ole Miss has been tied to the Bears. This Elijah kid. There's some other guys. But, to me, Mooney's on my fantasy team. I like him. I think he could be an 80-catch guy next year with some huge, big play potential as long as somebody can get him the ball. That's what I'm scared about. Somebody's got – and Nagy's got to be able to do something. They bring him back. I don't – when Nagy's got that call sheet in his hands, it makes me nervous. So he's a –
I get – No, yeah, listen, yeah. I totally get it. I understand what you're going through, because even though I'm not a Bears fan, I'm an Allen Robinson fan, and I want to make sure that I'm maximizing his potential in my dynasty leagues for sure. I want to shift back the conversation here, Tommy, to the NFL postseason real quick. Buffalo, they are still in action this weekend, trying to get to the AFC Championship game. We know if they do that, it will be without Zach Moss, who is out, who was placed on IR earlier this week. So going forward, knowing that we're going to see nothing but Devin Singletary, maybe a little Devontae Freeman in that backfield for the rest of the way, how do you see the Bills running backs, the share, shape up for 2021, knowing that Moss will be a big factor, knowing Singletary would be a big factor? Do you target any of these guys? Do you fade both of them? How do you handle this, Tommy?
Oh, that's a great, another great question. I think with the Bills organization, I mean, they did draft back-to-back first-round pick running backs, didn't they? I mean, there wasn't.
I think they're both second. Yeah, maybe second or second.
Singletary, I think, was a second. Yeah.
It was their high draft picks were, two back-to-back. I wouldn't be surprised if they draft a running back again this year. So it seems like it's a spot. I don't know if the guys didn't know the playbook very well or, were they in the doghouse? But I don't know, Singletary just didn't seem to pan out as much as people probably thought he would have. I don't know. I think they may look elsewhere. They may bring someone else in. I don't know if they're going to rely on these two. I mean, Zach Moss still has a lot of upside. I don't know what to think of Singletary right now.
Well, it might be one of those cases, too, where, like, you talk about, I think Steve Spurrier said this way back in the day when he was coaching Florida, like, if you got two quarterbacks, you don't have any quarterback. And maybe in the NFL, we have Singletary and Moss, you don't have any running back there either. So maybe from a fantasy perspective, it's like, okay, these guys are okay later on in drafts, but certainly not a guy you want to target as your number two running back. Right, Tom?
I agree. And you're right. I think if some of these guys, they perform when they got more volume. I can see that with Zach Moss more than I could with Singletary.
Well, it's just, and it's one of those things too. It's just like, okay, well, they already had Singletary and then they invest in Moss. You know what I mean? Like who better to analyze Devin Singletary's value than the team that drafted him? Team invested in Zach Moss. Speaking of young running backs, let's shift it back to Dynasty here. I know we're bouncing around all over the place. John, your 750 Dynasty League in the FFPC, 6 out of 20 spots on this squad for you are Chicago Bears. Out of all the Chi-Town guys on this team.
Drinking that Kool-Aid.
Exactly. Drinking the Bears Kool-Aid, which there's worse Kool-Aids to drink. Who are you most excited about for 2021 out of all the Bears you have on this Dynasty squad?
I'm very excited, depending on the quarterback and how they shift play. Cole Kmet, I mean, he's a guy that's a monster. When you see him catch the ball, he can catch everything. He's a monster to bring down. I mean, I'm very high on Cole Kmet. I got him, in some other Dynasty stuff I do. And, I was really, truly hoping for a coaching change. I think David Montgomery, I mean, unless they use him like they did, I mean, he's somebody that, he needs the touches. He's a guy that spins off. He's hard to tackle. He's not a tall guy, but he's a thick guy. So, I mean, I'm still high on him, and also Darnell Mooney. Like we talked earlier, we already touched on Mooney, but he's a guy that, he's got that speed, the shiftiness. His hands have improved since, Tulane. But getting back to, Cole Kmet, I think he's a real deal. And if they utilize him more, and Jimmy Graham, I don't think he'll be back next year with the Bears. I think he's either going to retire or maybe sign elsewhere if they don't owe him. I don't know what they owe him. It was a 2-year deal, but I don't know how much guaranteed's left. But, I think Komet's going to be a focal point. Should be. If he's not, he should be. But again, we're talking about Matt Nagy at the helm, so we'll see what happens there.
John, let me ask you this. I got on the High Stakes Fantasy Football Hour this week, Jerry Palmer is going to be our guest. He took third place in the FFPC main event this year. He is also, like you and Tom, from Illinois. Yeah. And I'm going to ask him about Cole Kmet, but just kind of shift it to a redraft perspective here. Next year, Cole Kmet showed a lot at the end of the 2020 season. Mm-hmm. How high would you draft a guy like Kmet in the FFPC main event, in the FFPC big payback next year? Is he a top 10 tight end, or is that too aggressive?
I think I'm thinking that 10 range is probably, you know, I mean, no, everybody draft him 30th. No, I'm just like Tommy was saying. I think you're right there. You know, Eric, I think you're kind of right there. I think, you know, I don't think he's a top five type guy yet. I mean, there's not really, when you look at it, I mean, really, is there, you know, once you get past Kelce, Kittle, you start looking at some of the other guys, you know, you start getting into some of these, you know, like getting off the top of my head, but you get off the top four or five guys, you start to hit into that, you know, again, what's the potential? Can this guy just get me 3 catches for 30 every game, or is this guy can get me maybe 7 for 90 and a tutty? And just like the FFPC, which is different, you know, you get a point and a half a catch. So I would rank him right around 10. I would say 10 to 12 is what I'd rank him.
Tom, are you falling in on that same line of thinking with Cole Kmet for 2021?
Maybe 15th. I got him. I don't have him inside the top 14. Maybe top 15. I don't know. I wouldn't say top 12.
No. Well, okay. That's why we like to argue on draft night. So we'll see.
All right. Exactly. Yes. You know, and this is interesting because I know you guys have talked every single year, trying to get on the same page prior to your high stakes drafts, trying to get on the same page with blind bidding, trying to get on the same page with lineup setting. I'm just curious, Tom, as I pitch this question to you, who is a guy that you and John really nailed this year as far as we're not drafting him at all and he sucked, or we're going to draft him everywhere we can and he was awesome. And a guy that was the opposite end of the spectrum where you targeted him a lot and he was terrible, or a guy that you faded that was awesome this year.
John knows who I vented a lot about the whole year.
Yep.
At the tight end position again.
Yep, you can tell him. We argued about that a little.
Evan, I think Evan Engram you just expect more production from him. You know, he has all the physical features. He's got good hand. I mean, he's got speed. I just didn't see a lot as the production. He's very frustrating. It's hard to roll him out there, starting him week in and week out, and he gets you, you know, 4.5 because he was getting these like garbage points too at the end of the season, at the end of the game. So it's just, to me, Engram really didn't pan out to what we would hope for, and that was frustrating. Something that you know, me and Johnny kind of just were really upset and frustrated about. It's not getting that, you know, production consistency that we were hoping for. And we kind of probably knew that going into it. I think John was more high on him than I was. But I would say Engram was the most frustrating pick that we had.
A guy like Leonard Fournette, too, that kind of was a frustrating guy that we thought.
Oh, totally. Yeah. No, you show me the guy who was targeting Leonard Fournette in draft season, and I'll show you a guy who won $1 million in fantasy this year. So don't – that's not, nothing to be ashamed about there. Let me ask you this, Tom. I'm going to pitch this to you. This isn't something we talked about before the show, but a guy I totally whiffed on this year, had him in literally zero – I played in almost 24 leagues this year, had him on zero teams, Stephon Diggs. And the reason I didn't have Diggs was he was going to a team that historically had been running the ball very successfully. He was going to a new offensive coordinator, new quarterback, new head coach, new offense, new team. And I was just like, you know what? That's too many red flags for me. I'm not down. How did you and John have Diggs on your squads this year? Did you have a lot of shares of them? Did you stay away? How did you handle Diggs and drafts?
I'm with you. I have no stock in Stephon Diggs.
I feel so much better right now. So much better.
I had him in one of 17 leagues. So, yeah.
So John, you faded him as well, right?
Yep. The only one I had him in is he won me money in that best ball that last game of the
– Yes. Yeah. So, Tom, I'm assuming you and John were on the same page on this. You faded him for the same reasons I did, right?
Yeah. One of a couple of agreements we only had.
Yeah, we were – I didn't think – I, you know – Josh Allen before this year, I mean, I didn't think he was going to come in. And what do you have? Did he have like 115 catches? I didn't 120. I don't see what he had.
Led the league. It was 120 plus. Like even in my wildest dreams, I never thought it was somewhat kind of similar to Josh Allen. I never would have thought either one of those guys put up the numbers they did this year, ever.
I agree. You have to give credit to the development of Josh Allen. Stephon Diggs is great. We all know that from Minnesota, but I mean, Josh Allen really took it to a whole nother level with his, you know, his accuracy, his patience, the ability to, you know, to read his keys, pre-snap reads. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's just really developed, and Stephon Diggs was the, you know, end result of that, the way he was able to
lead. His offensive coordinator is going to get a head coaching job probably because of it.
Whether it's at the pro ranks or college, you know, like that dude, if he wants to coach anybody this year, he can.
Yep.
Brian Daboll is certainly. And you know, it's so funny because a lot of the players, the high stakes players I've talked to, who own Josh Allen in Dynasty, who own Stephon Diggs in Dynasty, are like, God, I hope Daboll doesn't go anywhere. They need to pay whatever it takes. Keep him in Buffalo. I need these guys to keep performing.
I think he's staying in New York, but I think he might go to the Jets. So that's what I.
Oh, that's another good one. Yeah, we'll see what happens there.
That's a little thing that I've been hearing, but you know, that's if Urban goes down to Jacksonville. You know, we'll see what's going on. But
what do you guys think of that? Like, because I mean, are you Big Ten guys too?
I am. Yeah. Well.
Yeah.
I'm Big Ten, but I'm an Irish fan. I'm a Notre Dame fan. I was
okay.
Yeah. You know, so I'm a
Golden Domer and.
Do you guys think that Urban Meyer could succeed on the professional level? Because he's going to have a ton of cap space. He's going to have the number one pick. He's going to have James Robinson, probably Trevor Lawrence, obviously. What do you guys think about if Urban Meyer goes to Jacksonville, are the Jaguars a team to target in fantasy drafts? John, I'll pitch this to you.
Yes, I think that he can succeed on the level, on a higher level. I mean, he's more – you know, I think he's going to do more what Pete Carroll did compared to, you know, like Saban coming in and was only there for a year or two with Miami. But he's an offensive, you know, he was actually an assistant at Notre Dame and whatnot before he went to Utah, Florida, Ohio State. And he's a guy that I think, especially at his age, he's going to garner the respect. And, you know, I think if he's a younger guy, I don't think he would have gotten it. If he would have done this back after Florida, I don't think he would have been as successful as he could be now. I think those Jacksonville guys, you know, give me a DJ Chark. I mean, give me a LaVisca Chenault or James Robinson, Illinois State kid, you know, from Rockford, Illinois. But he, you know, some of those guys I think could really be targeted. But again, you know, it is tough because, again, he's a college guy. You know, he hasn't been in the pros. So does his system work? Does he bring in the right assistants? Does he bring in, you know, that's the thing. He's compiling a staff right now, and I think Shad Khan really wants him. You know, I think he's willing to spend money, and he's, you know, with that cap space, like you said, you hit it right there. I think they have the most, correct? 100 million, maybe? 90
yeah,
million?
I don't know anybody who has more than 100 million other than Jacksonville.
And I don't know what NFL is going to do if they're going to come down 10, 15 million on the cap, but we'll see what happens with that. So,
yeah,
no, I would say Jacksonville. If that, yeah, definitely.
Tom, you follow the same line of thinking here with John is if Urban Meyer takes over in Jacksonville, we got to take a hard look at all the Jaguar skill guys for fantasy.
Yes, I would say take a hard look. I would say maybe be patient as well. Don't panic. I think you know he can vary these days. The college game is transitioned into the NFL and. And I think he's a system guy, a structure guy. I think he's meticulous to detail. He's been successful wherever he goes. So he's got a foundation, you know, which, you know, a structure, a system, which, you know, is a fundamentally sound. And it means success everywhere he's gone. So I think, you know, now more than ever, you know, I think he can. I mean, the coach over in with Arizona Cardinals is a good example of, you know, transitioned into the NFL and you just see more and more of it. You know, the game is kind of blended. The college game is kind of blended into the NFL these days. So I think he's going to do well. And I would say definitely take a hard look at some of those players. And I think they're going to do well in this system.
The FFPC Divisional Playoff Challenge, the FFPC Playoff Challenge number 2, kicks off this weekend with 8 teams in action. We're going to see Buffalo versus Baltimore. We're going to see Kansas City take on Cleveland. Green Bay will battle the Rams. And obviously, the old man playoff matchup between New Orleans and Tampa Bay, Brady and Breeze, is going to go off. Tommy, if there was one player that you want to target to make sure you get on your roster for this playoff challenge, and then a guy that you want to make sure you don't want to have on your roster, who are those two guys? And then after you're done, John, I wanted you to inform the listeners who your target and fade would be in this competition.
Well, you don't want to target Jared Goff this weekend.
Who knows if he's going to play, right? I mean, it's good that he is the first game in this, but as of, we're recording this on Wednesday evening here, we don't know if he's going to be active for this game. I would think he is, but who knows?
Yeah. Well, I would not target that one, but I Aaron Rodgers, your guy over there in Green Bay. I'm sure you probably got him. You're going to roster him this week, aren't you?
Well, here's the thing. Here's that you can only obviously roster one player per team. Now, I can't play in this playoff challenge as an employee of the FFPC, but there's going to be plenty of people that are on the Aaron Jones bandwagon. There's going to be plenty of people that love Devontae Adams this weekend too, given that you can start two receivers and two flexes here. But Tommy, let's talk about this a little bit. You think Aaron Rodgers is the guy to own? You think the Packers are getting to the Super Bowl this year, where you get double points in this competition?
It hurts me to say it.
Just be truthful. Nobody cares about your fandom right now. Just be truthful.
I know. None of us Bear fans want to see Rodgers go to the Super Bowl. So it pains me to say it, but yeah, I think he's taking them to the promised land. Yeah. I think Rodgers is going to be that'll be a Super Bowl. I think it's going to be, it's going to be Green Bay, and I think it's going to be Kansas City.
So Tommy, just real quick on that, would you be not rostering Alvin Kamara, knowing that you, if you believe that New Orleans is not getting there, is that a guy you'd fade and you'd look elsewhere?
Yeah. You have to take a calculated gamble, and if Kamara's not going to be there, then. You don't think he's going to be there, then yeah, you kind of have to take that, unless you think he's that one game is going to be enough to carry you. I would think you have to look elsewhere.
John, you're a monster in the midway. Are you sharing Tommy's view on this?
He knows the Packers may very well get there. You are not going to get him to say that on the radio. I love that it's on the radio. John, tell us. Tell us a little bit more about your feelings about Aaron Rodgers.
The Bears. No, I hate Aaron Rodgers with all my soul. But I think he's 20. It's disgusting. But look, I was in Lambeau for a Bears victory when we hurt Rodgers, so that was good. That made me feel good. But
was that a collarbone? Was that a collarbone
game? Every time I go to Lambeau, it's like, hey, thanks for coming. Thanks for coming and spending your money. And then after that game, it was like, get out of here. We lost Rodgers. I'm like, we never had a quarterback for 60 years. What do you guys want?
Yeah.
No, but getting into this fading, like Tommy was saying, I didn't jump in the second challenge. I just did the original one. I did a couple of those. So the guy I have on mine and some of my football guys' ones, like this, I think it is Kelce. Travis Kelce is a guy you got to have in my mind. Point and a half. He's going to be a monster. He's going to be a monster this weekend. I think they do get there, if it's Buffalo, KC, and the AFC, but it pains me. Like Tommy said, I have to be a realist. I do gamble a lot too, but it's the Packers, but I would fade, I don't like Aaron Jones this weekend at all. I don't think that with that Rams defense, I think Rodgers is going to have to beat him. I think a guy more, you might see a guy like Dillon come in there. Like it's a guy that me and Tommy drafted. We were kind of hoping there, AJ Dillon, what he did against Tennessee or Jamal Williams, might be more of a fit. I don't know. I mean, he could be good, but I'm not putting any stock in Aaron Jones. Now, again, if you're asking me, and I'll say it on the radio, I think the Packers are going to be in the Super Bowl, but it's right. Somebody's going to have to go to Lambeau and beat them. And I don't think it's going to be the Rams. I think it's going to be a tough sled, and, you know, offensively for the Packers. But, you know, then you got somebody. It's either going to be, you know, TB12 or Drew Brees coming up there. And, yeah. You know, Drew Brees is, you know, the Bears, if they had any wits about them, or Javon Wims wasn't an idiot, they could have maybe won that game.
Oh, that Wims thing. I was just so irritated. I was watching that, and I was like, oh, here it is. You know, and well, you know, we have a guy like Javon Wims. Wims is not nearly as bad
MBS?
As Marcus. Yes, MBS, dude. That guy, like, I host a local radio show here in Northeast Wisconsin, an afternoon radio show during weekdays. And, like, everybody was complaining about him, and I'm like, this is who he is. You know, he is going to break your heart. He is going to catch an 80-yard touchdown, and he's going to mend that heart together. And before the end of the game, he is going to rip it to shreds. And that is what he does. And, like, and I've made my peace with that, and that's okay. And it may cost the Packers the Super Bowl this year. We'll see. I don't know. But I have no faith in Marquez Valdes-Scantling. All right. I have one more question for you guys before I get to it. And you guys have been incredibly gracious with your time tonight, and I certainly appreciate that. John, I'm going to pitch this first to you. We've never done this on the show before. Super Bowl prediction. I need the representative from the AFC. I need a representative from the NFC, and I need a final score. And John, after you give your prediction, Tom, I want to hear yours as well.
I think KC gets through. I think it's going to be KC against Green Bay. I know that's not, you know, going off the record. I think
we're not asking. Don't listen. Don't be different just for the sake of being different.
I don't think it's going to be as high scoring. I mean, I think I go KC, Green Bay. I say Mahomes over Rodgers, 31-27.
Tom, what say you?
I'm Kansas City, Green Bay, Super Bowl showdown. The future of the NFL. Going against the GOAT, you know, and, you know, one of the best in the game, Hall of Famer like Aaron Rodgers, is going to be a fantastic showdown. And I think you bet the over in the second half. That's what you should do. Definitely bet the over in the second half.
Good tip.
Yeah. But I think Kansas City wins. I think it's a fourth quarter, late quarter drive. And I think they keep the ball out of Aaron Rodgers' hands. So he can't do the same to them, and I think Kansas City sneaks away with a 38-35 win.
All right, so there you go. You heard it from two of the best in the FFPC, Chiefs over Packers. Tom says bet the over in the second half. I'm inclined to believe him. We'll see what happens when we get the game in February. All right, final question, guys. You guys won $25,000 winning the big payback this year. I already recited the litany of all the players, the great FFPC players you beat. Tom, I'm going to pitch this first to you, and then John, I want you to go ahead. 25 grand, you simply reinvesting that money for 2021 fantasy leagues? Are you spending anything as a luxury, as a reward? What are you guys doing with that cash?
I feel like I already spent it, but I'm going to use a small portion of it to reinvest it into next year, and I'm going to take the rest of it to Vegas Super Bowl weekend.
There you go. John, what about you?
Well, let's put it this way. My wife loves to spend money. So, you know, she knew about it. And, you know, I've used that. But now Tommy's already put his in Ultimate X. I don't know what he's telling you. So that's definitely going to be gone in the slot machine. But, in all honesty, we are doing some home renovations at a couple houses. But we're, you know, I'm going to use some of it for a, you know, just taking a little getaway for our 15-year anniversary here in February. So we're going to go get somewhere warm and relax, you know. So it'll be – I've already reinvested some of it with my dynasties and, you know, I left some money in and playoff challenges. So, you know, it's going to be – I was going to say something else, but we're on the radio. We're going to say something kind of funny, but
– Yeah, no. Strippers and coke.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, we won't bring that.
We're too old for that now. I mean, maybe if we were 20 years ago, it'd be.
All right. Well, good stuff from you guys. I know I kept you on a little bit longer this week, but every time it seems like every time I have the series finale of this specific podcast, we always hang on for the better part of an hour in getting your insight in not only for 2020, how you got there, how you plan on getting back there in 2021. It was awesome talking to you. Well, thank you so much. I wish you guys nothing but the best, not only in your dynasty leagues. You obviously got rookie drafts coming up in May, but in repeating as the big payback champs. Maybe we'll bring back off the grid in the FFPC. We'll see. I know you guys will be be the team to beat in that, no question, as well. And enjoy divisional playoff this weekend. We got a lot of great fantasy football a lot of great football ahead of us. It's going to be a blast to watch. And I wish you nothing but the best. Thank you so much for joining me.
How many people
at Lambeau
this weekend, by the way, Eric?
What's that?
How many people at Lambeau this weekend?
6,000 is the maximum. They are only – now, here's the thing. Like, because of the local radio show I alluded to earlier, one of our sponsors is a big fan of it, and he said if he is lucky enough to get selected for tickets – then I will actually get to go to it, which I'm very excited about.
Oh, nice.
But I don't know what's going to happen, because here's the thing. Like, it's no indoor seating. So if I do get selected to go, I will have to be out in the 5-degree weather or whatever, you know, which is I've done before, and I still have a good time. It's not necessarily looking forward to it. But if it helps my Packers get to the NFC Championship, I'm willing to make that sacrifice, guys, as I know you will in the forthcoming years when the Bears get back on top and are defending the NFC in the Super Bowl, no question, right?
My season tickets just don't seem as – they just get so unexciting sometimes. So.
Well, hey, Kyle Trask would certainly change that.
Oh, yeah. He, you know, he's a slinger. You know, he'll throw it around, that's for sure, if we get
some of him.
Well, he's like –
thank you for having us. I appreciate it, man. Yep. I had a blast.
Me too.
It was an honor to be on the show and compete against the best. So thank you again for having us.
Well, guys, thank you so much for joining me. This is one of my most favorite episodes of the season, and I wish you nothing but the best going forward, except for I hope Jordan Love continues the quarterback dominance of the NFC North. When that ever happens, Aaron Rodgers might play till he's 50. I have no idea. You guys would know better than me. Thanks so much for joining me.
Take care.
All right. Take care. Be safe.
Thanks, Tom. Good talk.
All right. Thanks, guys.
Thanks.
All right. Much love. Peace.
Thank you for listening to the High Stakes Lowdown, a RotoViz podcast brought to you by the Fantasy Football Players Championship. And thanks to Grapes for our theme music. Please review the podcast on iTunes under the RotoViz Radio feed. It helps us find new listeners. Contact us via email, rotovizradio@gmail.com. We'd love to hear what you think. And follow us on Twitter @RotoVizRadio. And remember, you can always support the show by subscribing to RotoViz at a 30% discount through the NFL podcast homepage, rotoviz.com/podcast.